And turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We have been talking about the prayer that Paul had for the church at Colossae. Last week we talked about the will of God, and today I want to look at walking worthily. Now, look at verse 9, if you will. Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to look down to verse 9. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and do all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I want you to notice a little phrase back up in verse 2, "that you may walk worthy." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come before You now. We thank You for the time that You've given to us. And Lord, this is Your time. This is Your place. I pray that You would just have Your will and way. I pray that You would do a mighty work in our midst. Lord, we want to see what You can do. I pray that You might quieten our hearts. I pray that every single person gathered here today would zero in on the things that God has for us today. Lord, we give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank You ahead of time for what You've done. In Your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Again, last week we talked about the will of God, and this week we are talking about walking worthy. I want you to think about this phrase, walking worthy. What it means, literally, is to be walking so that we're pleasing unto the Lord. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? Have you ever taken your life and compared it with the things of God and compared it with the Bible and see how far short we fail? You know, folks, none of us are the kind of Christian that we should be. I don't care who you are. I don't care how godly or how long you've been saved. Folks, none of us are where we should be for God. None of us are where we could be that God wants us to be. But in this particular passage, there are four things, and we're going to deal with these each week for the next 4 weeks, talking about how we can walk worthy. The first thing today is what we're going to be looking at is spiritual fruit. I want you to notice the phrase in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I want you to notice this particular psalm. This is what this psalm is describing, what God is saying here in the book of Colossians. Psalm chapter 1, and look at the first three verses. The Bible says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, that is a sign of walking worthily. That whatever you do, whatever you're doing for God, God's blessings are upon it. And I want us to take this idea of the spiritual fruit. I want to give you several thoughts, and I encourage you to write these down. You have some notes there in your bulletin, and I encourage you to write some of these down and think about these things. First of all, I want you to notice the types of fruit. There are two types of fruit. Go with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We see the first type of fruit that's found in the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to look down to verse 22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law." Now, I want you to notice something very interesting. Does the Word of God say the fruits of the Spirit, or does the Word of God say the fruit of the Spirit? Look at it carefully. What does it say? Fruit or fruits? Fruit. There's one fruit. Now, I want you to take a look at this. God said all of these things are included in one package. You have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have long-suffering, and so forth. What God is saying, as a result of walking in the Spirit, as a result of doing what God says, as a result of being the kind of Christian that is pleasing to God, God said, I will give you fruit in your life. And that fruit is evident as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All of these things come out as we live for God. Now, I want you to think about something. Do all of us have all the love that we need in our hearts? No. Do all of us have all the peace that we need in our hearts? No. Do all of us have all the joy and long-suffering and so forth? No. But here's the thing that God said. As we walk worthily of the Lord, and we began to follow the Lord, we began to do what God wants, the Spirit takes control, and guess what? People see in your life, they see the love, they see the joy, they see the peace, and it begins to come out. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit that is doing something in your life, and it is evidence that God is working in you. Have you ever seen a construction site as you're driving down the road and they'll have a sign warning men at work? You know what we should have around each of us as a Christian? Warning God at work. God is working in me. God is working in you. As we begin to surrender to the Spirit of God, we say, God, take over my life. Are we perfect? No. Do we do everything right? No. Are we always doing what God wants us to do? No, it's a work in progress. And folks, that work is concluded when God says it's time to come home, it's time to leave this world, and we go and we're with the Lord. But the type of fruit, the first thing, is the fruit of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, and as we walk worthily of God, this is evident. Go with me over to Proverbs chapter 11. We see the second type of fruit. Proverbs chapter 11. A very interesting portion of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 11, and look down to verse 30. Now, throughout the book of Proverbs, you will find little statements and little phrases that just stick out, and this is one of them. Verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The second type of fruit is the fruit of soul winning. Going after people, going after folks, talking to someone, and personally leading them or bringing them to Christ. Now, there are several ways that we can bring someone to Christ. We can personally go and take the Word of God and sit down and talk with them. We can give them a gospel tract. They can read that. They can get saved later on. We can invite people out to church. They come to church. They hear the good news of the Lord and they get saved and they follow the Lord. This is all dealing with the fruit of soul winning. But here's what I want you to see. The Bible tells us that here in verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. The tree of life is everlasting life, the salvation. And folks, what we do, we reproduce ourselves by reaching other people. Now, I want you to stop and think for just a moment. I want you to ask yourself this question. I don't want you to say anything out loud. I don't want you to think about this, but I want you to look in your own heart. How many people have you brought to Jesus in your entire life? How many people have you sat down and talked with? How many people have you invited out to church? How many people have you seen saved? Folks, all of us, if we're honest, are not doing what we could be. There are people that we need to be reaching. There are folks we need to be talking to. There are people that we need to be reaching. But the Bible tells us, if we're going to be wise, we have to be winning souls. We have to be conscious about this. I want you to see this. If we're walking worthily of the Lord and we're doing what God wants us to be doing, as we bear spiritual fruit, we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and we're going to have the fruit of soul winning. We're going to have a passion. We're going to have a burden. We're going to have something down inside. I've got to see other people saved. I want to see other people come to church. I've got to see folks come. But folks, when we push that fruit aside, we get cold. We get indifferent. We don't care about other people. We're not walking worthy in the Lord. We're not doing what God said. Now, these are the types of fruit. Number two, I want you to look at the truths about fruit and go with me to John chapter 15. The truths about fruit. John chapter 15. Wonderful passage. As the Lord Jesus Christ was walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, as He was talking with His disciples, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, as Jesus was walking to the garden, He quoted these particular things, and probably as He was walking by in this particular thing, this was at night, He probably, as He was walking by, stopped at a grove of trees and began to give this discourse on the vine and the branches. And I want you to notice verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now, I want you to look at the truth about fruit. Look at verse 1. We see the planting. The Bible says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman." Now, I want you to think about this. Several of you may have a garden that you are trying to grow. And I know this particular season, things are kind of blossoming right now with all the rain that we've had recently. But you know, you try to do a garden, and it takes a lot of work. Either you start off with the seeds or you plant the plants, and it takes time for them to grow and it takes time for them to bear fruit, but it takes time to get out there and put the work in. But I want you to see the planting. It is God who plants the seed. It is God who comes along and gives out His seed. We see this in the parable of the sower. The Son of Man sowed the seed, gives out the Word of God, gives out God's Word, gives out the words of life. We receive that and it begins to grow. As you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you realize, "I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior." We ask the Lord to come into our heart, and we begin to grow as a Christian. Now, that growth does not happen overnight. You don't go out like Jack and the Beanstalk and throw the magical seeds out, and the next day you have a giant stalk that goes up into the heavens. Wouldn't it be great, Daniel, if you can plant your corn that way? Man, you go out one day, plant them, go out and harvest it the next day. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Man, that would just be, that would make life so simple. Just throw some seeds out the next day. Oh boy, we're going to go out and get tomatoes or green beans or whatever it may be, and don't have to worry about it. That's not how it does. It takes time. The Bible tells us that God is the husbandman and He's the one who takes care of this. But look down to verse 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Folks, here is what takes place. We are planted in this world and God comes along and gives us a seed. We hear the Word of God. We say, "I want it." We readily take the Word of God. We receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Christ begins to work in our lives and Christ begins to blossom. We begin to grow spiritually. But folks, here's the thing we have to understand. We can do nothing apart from God. We cannot make it in this world apart from God. When God plants us, we begin to grow. We begin to mature as a Christian. The only way we can do this is through God. Now, I want you to notice a very interesting concept. Go down to verse 2. We see the second thought. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In the process, we have the planting. The second thing we have is the purging. What God has to do is come along and take away the bad that's in our life. There may be a bad branch. There may be a dead branch. There may be something that is not pleasing unto God. God comes along and God takes that part away. Now, that process is a very painful process. We don't enjoy that process. We don't enjoy so-called getting our toes stepped on. We don't enjoy having God tell us, you're not walking worthily. You're not doing what I've asked you to do. Your life is not pleasing unto me. We don't like that. We rebel. We don't like when God comes along and says, I want to cut back on this, or I want to make it so that you will grow more fruit. But I want you to notice something. It says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want you to notice verse 3. He says, and now we are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Here's what God is saying. After we're planted, after we began to grow, we began to walk worthily of the Lord, God comes along and says, there's some sin in your life. There's some things in your life that is not pleasing unto me. I want to remove these things. I want to get rid of these things. I want to do spiritual surgery and take these things away. Our first instinct is to rebel. God, that hurts. I don't like to be rebuked, or I don't like to get my sins be made note of. I don't like to have me out in the open, so God and everybody else can see. But God says that's the only way. God does it through two processes. He brings trials and tribulations, and He also brings the Word of God that cleanses us and shows us. You know, folks, every time we open the Word of God, God is speaking to us. We have two reactions. We can say, I'll listen to what God is saying, or I'll say, no, I won't listen to what God's saying. But let me share something with you. Notice the end of verse 2. It says that it may bring forth more fruit. Without God's purging, we will never be the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. Without God coming along and pruning us back and cutting us back and making us what we need to be, we will never become the Christian that is pleasing unto the Lord. But then I want you to see the third thought in this particular passage, the picking. Go down to verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Go down to verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now I want you to see this. It is God's plan, it is God's design, it is God's will for our lives that every single Christian bear fruit. Now, I want you to think about this. God wants us to have more fruit. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to have His power upon us. You see, to a lost world, God wants the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives. Every place we go, every person we talk to, every activity we attend, God wants His fruit to be shining forth. God wants Him to be seen in us. You know, as people look at your lives, as they see your testimony, as they hear you talk, as they see your conduct, you know what they need to be able to do? I see Jesus Christ. I see Jesus in you. You know, folks, that's a scary thought. You think about that. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to have Jesus shining through me. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinful creature. We all are. But the steps that God wants us to take to walk worthily of Him and to be there, the first thing is the spiritual fruit. He wants us to be bearing fruit. He wants the world to see. Did you know that you are the open Bible to an unsaved person? You are the only Bible that many people ever see or ever hear. What comes out of your mouth, what the activities you do, the places you go, the people you associate with, it shows who's your God. It shows who you is in control of your life. It shows who is taking control of what is taking place. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. When God is in control, God says, I want you to bear much fruit. When God is in control, I want you to be a fruitful Christian. I want you to be producing fruit, everything you do, in the eyes of the world. But then I want you to notice one last thing. I want you to notice the tail of the fruit. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to go down to verse 7. This particular passage deals with the gifts the Lord Jesus Christ gives to the believers. And I want you to look at verse 7. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended upon high, he led the captive captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended is what but also descended first into the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same that also ascended up above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Therefore, are that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto Him and do all things which is ahead, even Christ. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. The tale of the fruit involves several things. We talked about the types of fruit. We talked about the truth of fruit. And I want you to notice the tale of fruit, what it means. First of all, it builds a stronger faith. It builds a stronger faith. Folks, when we're grounded in the Word of God, and we know the Word of God, and we're growing, and we're producing fruit, you know what you're going to be able to do? You're going to be able to stand on the Word of God. You're going to be able to say, I believe what the Word of God says. I stand on the Bible. I stand on the Word of God. I stand on what God has said. And our faith becomes stronger. Because what happens, we turn over control. We no longer are in control of our bodies. God is in control. And God begins to do a work. You see, that starts at the moment we get saved. That work will not conclude until we get to heaven. Do you ever wonder why God left you here upon this earth? I have people ask me this all the time. Pastor, I'm getting old. Why does God leave me here? God is not finished with your work yet. If God was finished with your work, God would say, it's time to come home. And folks, what we have to understand, God says, I want to give you spiritual blessings. I want you to bear fruit. I want you to be strong in the faith. But number two, it makes us sold out to God. When we are bearing fruit and we're allowing God to work in our lives, we're allowing God to do something, we are sold out to God. We're saying, God, I give you everything. Folks, who's in control of your life? Who dictates what you do? Who governs your lifestyle? Who governs everything that you do? Is it yourself or is it God? You see, as long as we have these bodies, there's a battle that is raging. That battle is the battle of the flesh, the battle of surrender to God. Sometimes the flesh wins and we fall into sin. Sometimes God is in control and we walk worthily of God. We follow God and do what God says. But folks, we have to be bearing fruit. We have to be a fruitful Christian. We have to be doing what God says. But then I want you to notice the third thing. It helps the saints to be encouraged. Look at verse 12 here in Ephesians. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. You see, the reason we bear fruit is to build one another up. Each of us have different talents, different gifts. Not everyone can sing. And the Lord only knows, if some of you did sing, we'd all would run. you know it's true. You can tell and you can see those who enjoy singing and those that probably best if they don't sing. And some of you would love to be able to play the piano. Some of you would be glad that you didn't play the piano. I jokingly say that I took piano lessons when I was a kid and my piano teacher paid me to quit. My teacher told me that I could not play the piano. I tried and tried and tried. I took lesson after lesson. She finally just said, you just don't have it. You can't play the piano. And so I play the radio or whatever, but I don't play the piano. Now, here's what God says. We take our strings and we use to build up the body of Christ. Each of us take what we can do. Some of you enjoy working with children. Some of you can't stand children. Some of you enjoy doing things around the church, helping out with different things. Some of you can't do certain things. That's fine. We're all different. God brings us together. God brings us together as a family of God. And what we do as we grow in God, we encourage or we strengthen one another. We take one gift from over here, one gift from over here, and we come together and we work together. It all works very simply. The more we're dedicated to God, the more God can use us in the place that God has. Now, going back to the first thing, we talked about the will of God. We need to make sure we're in the will of God. We need to make sure we're in the place that God can use us. And when we're in the will of God, we need to be walking worthily and doing what God says. And the first thing is spiritual fruit. But I want you to notice the third thing in this, on the tail of the fruit. As I said, it makes the saints to be encouraged. And number four, it sees souls saved. Folks, if you are doing what God wants you to do, people will be saved. We have missionaries that we send around the world. Every time a missionary that we support sees somebody saved, that's credit to our account. That's fruit for us. Every time one of our missionaries leads someone to Christ and sees someone saved, that is fruit, that is blessing that God says, I'm going to give to your account. I'm going to charge it to you. Every time we pray, every time we give, every time we do something, but every time we collectively, as we serve God, as we go out, as we do what God says, we produce fruit, we will see people saved. The early church, when they went out and they began to turn the world upside down, God was using them in a great way. Folks, we have the same God. We have the same Word of God. We have the same power today. The problem is we are not walking worthily of God. We are not doing what God wants us to be doing. I want you to go back to the book of Colossians. We're going to close with this, and I want you to see this. Look back up to verse 10 again. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, I want you to think about this. What is God doing through you? What is God doing through you? Are you being used of God? Are good things coming out of your life? Or is nothing happening? You know, folks, if nothing's happening in your life, one or two things can be said. Either you've never truly been saved, you've never been born again, or you're not walking worthily of the Lord. You're not doing what God says. You know, there's a lot of people who go through life and they think, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm a Christian. I'm okay. I remember talking with a man one time and I asked him, I said, aren't you on your way to heaven today? He said, oh, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, well, how do you know that? He said, well, I'm American. All Americans are going to heaven. I said, sir, that's not the case. He said, oh, yes. He said, we live in a Christian nation. All Americans are Christians. That's not the case. You see, there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's when we recognize that Jesus died for us on the cross and we turn to Him and we ask Him and we ask Him to come into our hearts. There's a lot of people who go around thinking, well, I'm okay. I'm not a bad person. I don't go out and commit murder. I don't go out and do horrible things. And I'm okay. I'm my good is better than my bad. I'm okay. So I'm fine. But folks, if you're not bearing fruit, either you're unsaved, you're not with God, or you're not walking worthy.